I just flow. I just go with the flow, man.
See where it takes us.
Let's go.
But if you guys are ready, let's do it. All right. Well, welcome, everybody, to another episode of Ball Out. We have a special guest today, Christine Irvin. You just announced Flexible Friday is coming out?
Yeah. So Felix and I made our intro video, I think, earlier this week. And then we posted our first video today with some stretches for your feet. So that's up.
I did see the beginning of that clip. And Felix's beard is getting out of control.
You know, he actually trimmed it after. So after the intro video, he got some feedback from some people, if you want to call it that, about trimming it. And then he decided to trim it. So
wow. Good for him.
Yeah, I was proud of him.
So, Christine, let's start off with some backstory on you. When did you get into yoga? How did you get into yoga? Any other backgrounds, upbringings, whatever you want to get into? Let's get to know you a little bit better.
Okay, yeah. So I first got into yoga, I'd say, it was probably around, I want to say like 2014, 2015. I have scoliosis, and so the doctor had recommended I start yoga to help with some back pain from that. He kind of just meant like some gentle stretching yoga, which I do, and it's great. But then I really got into like the power yoga and all that fun stuff. So that's what I mainly teach now. So I got my certification to teach yoga a year and a half ago, I think. So I've been doing that. And then growing up, I was always very active, like playing sports. I played volleyball, basketball, and lacrosse. And then I used to run a lot. So when I found out I had scoliosis and had that pain, I definitely knew it was not an option to just quit being active. So I'm really glad I ended up doing yoga because that's helped me a lot. So
very cool. So with this Flexible Friday, every Friday you're going to put out a video like today. Can you kind of, I guess, let's start with breaking down how today's episode or today's video went, just to see if that's going to be how they're going to continue to be every week.
They're going to vary, actually. Today's was pretty instructional. I mean, we demonstrated like what to do, but it was kind of just the basics and going over some things, but I'll probably do those types of videos and pair them with like some more flow type videos where it's almost like a little yoga class. So I'll probably like, I don't know if I'll do like an instructional video one week, a flow video the next week, and kind of mix it up from there. But I also am, if people have requests, I'll pretty much do whatever people want to see. I mean, you know, within reason and appropriate, but
it's always a disclaimer for some of these people.
Yeah. Disclaimer, yoga related, but Felix is shaking his head. So,
already disapproving.
Yeah.
4 minutes in.
Yeah, exactly. So the videos, yeah, they'll probably, you know, like today's video was around, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes. So they'll probably be, you know, some videos will like be under 10, and like I said, if it's a flow, it might even be longer, but it's kind of just going to be what keeps people engaged. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Whatever feedback, I mean, that's kind of how we run on to what you got to give the people what they want.
Exactly.
So let's get into the different forms of yoga. How, I know you're talking to the dodgeball community. What forms of yoga are you going to be targeting for the dodgeball community specifically to help with gameplay?
Yeah, so there are a ton of different types of yoga, but I'll mainly be doing, I'll be doing a few different types. I'll be doing some gentle yoga, which is pretty much stretching. That's what it is. It's not very like intense. And then I'll also do a little bit of a slow flow, which would be, like I said, I might do some videos where we're stretching, but we're also moving and, for lack of a better word, like flowing. So just kind of think of like water, like movements. And then granted, it's not as much looking at flexibility when I talk about my strength building exercises for yoga, but I love building strength. So even though it's called Flexible Friday, I'll probably work in some power yoga because obviously building strength is important, especially for athletes. So
yeah, and that power yoga is, when you're talking about building strength, are you talking about building strength within different joint mobility ranges, or are you talking just isolated isometric holds and, you know, really bracing your core and just squeezing until you feel that burn?
It's actually a combination. So when I teach my classes, I do a lot of like plank holds, things where we're bracing our core and it's work, you know, work like stabilizing, but we also do like twists with the core and like side plank rotations and working on our mobility and getting the core moving. So it kind of hits a lot of different areas. I also do I could go on, but like a lot of strength building things like with squats and tricep pushups and other things like that. So kind of a mixture.
Yeah, I've done power yoga a couple times. I remember the first time I got into it, it was an accident because my coworker got me into it, because I worked at a gym at LA Fitness and we always had this gap during the yoga class. She's like, come do yoga with me. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And I'm thinking it was the gentle yoga type and it was the power yoga type, and I've never done so many push-ups in one class before. And I was like okay, this can't be that bad. After like the fourth round, I'm laying on the ground and I'm like, I'm a trainer here and I'm looking terrible in front of people that I don't even have clients, so this is a terrible time for me. But it was fun though.
Hey, but good for you. Yeah, and see, that's the thing, a lot of people when they hear the word yoga, now granted it's becoming more popular, but I still know a lot of people think, oh okay, it's like stretching or it's just breathing, it's not a workout, which yoga can definitely be, like stretching, breathing, something that's just going to relax you. But it could be a really hard workout. And like you said, even athletes, people who are in pretty good shape, can come into a power yoga class. And if it's new to them, they'll be surprised at how much they sweat.
My only yoga experience, I went to hot yoga one time, and it was only one time for a reason. But I sweat so much anyway. When you put me in a sauna, it was like I was swimming on my mat. But anyway, can you kind of break down what exactly, I guess, you would see that the dodgeball community needs in the yoga routine, or in a yoga routine, or just the knowledge of it? Is there anything that you saw that kind of gave you this call to action to start this page?
Yeah, and a lot actually. So I don't play dodgeball, but I go to a lot of the tournaments, and obviously my husband Felix is big in the community and plays a lot. So watching him play, I would just get concerned about like his stretching before, after games, and how much he was taking care of his body. And so I had him do some yoga with me, and I'm going to kind of call him out here, but he had basically no body awareness. So, you know, if we were like in a lunge position, his knee is like caving in, and, you know, anyway, like he just had no idea what was going on. And I think a lot of people don't, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like if you're not often thinking about how am I moving? How am I breathing? How am I using my body? We don't really think about that unless we're like in a yoga class. So I want to use yoga to help dodgeball players first of all, just gain more body awareness so they can hopefully move safely, and also encourage any athlete to take the time to really stretch and give their muscles a bit of relief when they are so active. Now, granted, I know it's like a quarantine time, but, you know, having those tournaments where you guys are moving like all day and not doing anything. Well, I'm sure some of the dodgeball players stretch, but not stretching maybe as much as they should. And then also, and this is, I mean, like, really, I could go on all day about why yoga is important. But another reason is like breath, because when I would work out before I became a yoga teacher, I don't think I ever thought about my breathing. I never linked my movement with breath consciously. And when we're not breathing effectively, it can affect our athletic performance. And so teaching players how to really use their breath to help fuel their bodies and also use their breath to help calm them down. I mean, no one ever gets mad during a dodgeball game, right? I mean, nothing ever happens. I've never seen any tension on the court. But, you know, just if one day there's ever an argument between teams or a ref, if we learn how to be a little more mindful and breathe, it sounds cheesy, but it really does work, then maybe we could just handle some things without the tension.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought up breathing, actually, because that was the one thing that when I did my class, I would have to remind myself while I'm in these poses, like, hey, dumbass, you should be breathing. You're not doing enough of that. Like, let's let's pick this up because this is real hard. So, and yeah. I don't know if it's, again, something to do with the gameplay and the adrenaline spike, but I catch myself doing the same thing during dodgeball. And if I'm not thinking about it constantly, I find myself getting winded so much faster. I relate it almost to like an MMA fighter or a boxer, where you can hear them, either when they're training or fighting, when they're punching, they're breathing out consciously, forcing you to take that next breath. So I think there's a lot of teachings and I guess a lot of education that could come out and should come out, starting with breathing in the dodgeball community. And I just don't know if you don't know what you don't know. So that's what I love about, you know, pages like the Fit to Win, pages like Your Flexible Friday. And that's why we kind of start doing what we do, because people sometimes don't even know what questions to ask.
Exactly. Yeah.
So as growing up as a kid, for me, like, breathing was important for two reasons. Was one, because I was a previous asthmatic. So breathing was always hard for me, just doing anything athletically, because as soon as I started running, it would just flare up. And I'm like, okay, I can't breathe. This guy's getting dizzy and everything. So one of my coaches in track was very adamant about me controlling my breath and learning how to use my core to control that, because as soon as you start hyperventilating, that's when you pretty much you're done. So for me, my coaches were always focusing on, like, okay, use your core to focus your breath and control your breath, slow your pace down, so that way you can keep going no matter where you're at. Even if you're hard to breathe, you can still continue doing whatever you're currently doing. And then that's something I actually always preach to my clients, especially because the classes I teach now are like high intensity workouts. So you're going to lose your breath almost every day. So focusing on your breath will help you, one, not only distract you, especially if you're doing like isometric movements or lack of movement, because especially like if you're doing a wall sit or a plank, if you focus on your breathing, it takes your mind off of what you're doing. And that way, like that burning feeling you feel in your plank, you're not focused on that. And that way you could keep going and you're not so drilled on your pain and discomfort. You just continue doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I know that I picked up some of those habits from when I was swimming, because, you know, half the time I'm holding my breath anyway. So when I translated that into other sports, I really had to be conscious of, hey, we're not underwater. You can be breathing. It's okay. Anyway, I want to talk about your episode today about foot strengthening, because I agree with what you said in the beginning that it's something that people don't think about at all. I know we wanted to get a lot more questions in, but we're just going to jump around here a little bit. Can you talk about the feet, like strengthening your feet? Because that was one thing I did notice when I did yoga, is that the center of my foot felt like it was on fire.
Oh, interesting. like it wasn't in pain though, was it? Like it was just.
No. It just felt like it was getting worked out hard.
Oh, okay.
That's how
okay.
We plant our fasciitis there, right?
Okay.
No, just that good burn.
Yeah. So your question was just about foot strength or foot.
Yeah. Yeah. Just diving a little bit deeper into, you know, why we should be strengthening our feet.
Yes. So I kind of touched on this a little in the video, but our feet, you know, affect our entire body, which, I mean, it sounds obvious when you say it, but I truly had never thought about that until I was in a yoga class and we were focusing on our feet, and the teacher started talking about how our feet and the health of our feet can affect like our hips, our back, our legs. And so if we have really tight feet and we're not giving them a chance to either stretch or, you know, like move a little bit, working on, yeah, like strength too, and holding certain positions, it can have quite an effect in a lot of our body. And sometimes we don't even know, you know, like what the cause is. I mean, you could have back pain for a million reasons, but it might actually be your foot. So, yoga has so many different ways to open your feet, to work your feet, even just like getting your feet used to standing. I mean, a lot of people, I would say a lot of people stand, but like Felix, I mean, he sits most of the day. And so you guys, I know when you play your tournaments, you're standing like the whole day. But if you go from an office job where you're sitting all day and you barely stand, and then you have a random weekend tournament where you're on your feet all day, it's definitely going to bother you. So, yeah, I don't know if that like starts to answer the question if you're looking for specific like things, but
it definitely was going where I thought it was going to go, but,
I just ramble. So,
oh, that's okay. It's when you look at the body like that, you don't have good mobility or good control of that mobility. All it does is it moves up to the next joint. So it's just going to affect. So like my ankle mobility is just terrible. So when I squat, I have knee pain. So I know that I have to go back and I have to work on my ankle mobility. So it just starting at the feet, that's just it, just one rung that can just continue to grow. Like you were saying, it could go all the way up to your back.
That's a, yeah, I was always taught that like the feet are always like the base of the body, and that I mean, similar to basically what you guys both just said, like if one thing affects you, it just only goes up the chain, and from the feet, the only way going up is to the knees, the ankle, the pretty much the rest of the body. And like for me specifically, like my right ankle just doesn't bend, because I think I'm pretty sure I have a bone out of place, so like it just doesn't bend past the point, like past a certain point. So it's kind of annoying to kind of deal with. So I'm like, I want to squat and be like, I want to be able to do a pistol squat on my right leg, but I can't, because it just doesn't bend, and it's kind of sucks. So hopefully I get that fixed, but I don't know.
Just might have a bone out of place. It's fine.
It's been like that for like a couple of years, so it's fine now.
So let's get right to the real dodgeball questions. How is this going to help our shoulders?
Ooh, yeah. Wait, you use your shoulders in dodgeball? No, I'm kidding. yeah.
Use loosely.
So Felix, well, not since I've known him, but he used to dislocate his shoulder all the time from throwing so much. So luckily that hasn't happened in a while. But that is one of the reasons I was worried about him, was because of him not stretching. Well, granted too, we need our strength exercises as well, but I know my videos will mainly be focused on stretching when it comes to like the shoulders. I'm not going to be getting out weights or anything, but so what was the question?
Just when should we expect that shoulder mobility or shoulder stretching video to drop? Because I think that one's going to be a hot one for you.
Well, I can make a shoulder video for next Friday, and we can work on some stretches that hit all different parts of the shoulder. And I have some funky stretches too that people probably haven't seen before, because I hadn't seen them until I did some yoga stuff. And we can definitely work them out, because shoulders, you know, ball and socket joint, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, that's, I mean, your shoulders got to be the most versatile joint in your body. But like you said, from working at a desk, you know, usually everybody that plays on the weekends has got a 9-to-5, works at a desk. Also addressing like an upper cross syndrome or a rounded shoulder, you know, making sure that we're stretching your pectoral major and minor, so that way they're not getting pulled forward. Is that going to be something that you're going to work on as well?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. I'll make any type of video yoga related that will help the dodgeball community. And I actually, when I first thought of Flexible Fridays, my plan was to start with the shoulders. And then for whatever reason, I thought, oh, I'll just start with the feet because people probably aren't expecting that. But I think the shoulder is a huge part of dodgeball. So I'll do a video, if not multiple videos, on the shoulder.
We always get asked about throw speed and, you know, working out your shoulders and how you can improve that. And it's kind of fun just leaving people on the hook and not dropping that one yet. So sorry, everybody, we know that you want that and it is coming, but we're just going to dangle you along a little bit and get you to learn something on the way to it.
Yeah, actually, I'm just not going to do that. Yeah, I'm not going to make a shoulder video until I get enough people following my page and enough people liking my videos. So
you heard it.
It's smart.
I'm blackmailing everyone.
Let's say you don't drop everything right away.
Yeah, you can't just give the people what they want right away and then they're gone.
Good point.
Put up a post that you need at least this many followers, this many views, and then you'll release it.
Should we get like a million followers or like,
or
I don't know.
Like,
wow, that's ambitious. I mean,
let's go.
I'm in.
Let's go. Just catfish everyone.
Okay, cool.
Good time.
All right, what do you got, Miles?
All right, so here's my question for you. So you've been around the dodgeball scene for a while, even though you never really played, but you're married to Felix, so you've been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So in your opinion, yeah, unfortunately, but in your opinion, what is the most ignored area from dodgeballers in terms of mobility?
So I was thinking, now granted, I can't speak for the whole dodgeball community, but I thought of core when I heard this question, because our core, just like our feet, affects our entire body. And when we have a weak core, and I mean, I know you guys know this, but like for people listening, you know, keep in mind, it's not just your abs. It's way more than just like, oh, that six pack. It's our front, our back, our sides. When our core is not only not stable, but not mobile, it can affect our ability to balance. It can affect our ability to twist. And I know that there's twists, you know, that goes on with your throw. I think Felix would agree with that, right? You twist when you throw. Okay. And like you guys on the court, you are moving from high to low, low to high. And I've heard Felix say that you struggle, or you know people struggle with like going from low to high, getting up quickly, or being able to stay like when you're crouched on your toes and balance. So we're constantly using our core a lot of the time when we don't even realize it. So I think the core would probably be one of the most ignored for someone who's not like consciously, you know, trying to strengthen it or work on, I don't know, yoga or do you guys think that's right? Or are you guys like, no, we all do core stuff. What are you talking about?
No, I totally agree. I think that goes back to working in an office and sitting all day as well, that everybody has these ergonomic chairs that seat you in the perfect position so you don't have to engage your core for 8 hours a day. So naturally, they atrophy because you're not using them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that, you know, I think in a couple of episodes that, especially with one with Ketchum where they was asked what we thought was the most crucial muscle group to work, I said your core, because like you said, balance, it's the main part of your throw. Yes, it comes from your arms, but it's from torquing the entire body. Also, though, where I think that your Flexible Friday can come in really handy is because almost nobody is throwing with one arm. You're not throwing with left and right. So those imbalances become very hard to overcome the more and more you work it. Being able to realize which your opposite side is lagging, or that you are super tight on one side, I think yoga is going to point out real quick for you.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because one of the things during a yoga class I'm constantly saying is notice which side might be like you're weaker, you're stronger, you're tighter, you're looser, because like our bodies are not symmetrical side to side. And we do have one side that will be weaker. And like you said, especially when you're favoring one side in a sport like dodgeball. And now granted, some people think of this kind of stuff, but before I did yoga, I really never thought about it like that, or thought about like, oh, okay, I'm feeling this in this side of my body, but I'm actually not feeling it here. Or maybe I'm feeling it there. And why is that? And so yoga is constantly bringing awareness and mindfulness to our body, how it works individually, how it works as a whole, and how we can, like you said, kind of balance out our sides. Granted, we'll never reach equilibrium, but we can definitely balance our bodies with yoga.
Yeah, I always tell people that trying to get to the best you can is, because the balances are perfectly normal. Like, even if you don't do sports, like, you're going to have imbalances all over your body. And it's the fact that, like, just because they're normal doesn't mean that you should accept it. You should always be working to get to equilibrium, even if it may not be possible, because you always favor something in day-to-day movements. So, but the goal is to get to that equilibrium, so that way if you want to do a certain movement, you're able to do it to the best of your ability. Because, for example, my right ankle being messed up, I can't do a squat perfectly because I have to adjust in order to compensate for that bad ankle. So in those types of movements, you got to make sure that you get as close to close to equilibrium as possible. So that way you're able to complete most movements to the fullest.
Do you think that using some yoga techniques, as far as the flow yoga you were talking about, could be a great use for like somebody's warm up to try to feel where those imbalances are, to try to, you know, prime your muscles to get ready for the damage they're about to endure?
Oh, like before a game, you mean?
Yeah, before a game, before a workout, just something to, you know, kind of trigger that body awareness to, you know, feel like walking into the gym or the court, feeling that, hey, my right leg feels like it's lagging right now. I need to wake it up.
Definitely. Doing, you know, a quick flow before, like you said, a game, a workout, not only is it going to bring awareness to what's going on in your body and, you know, how it's feeling, and if you are kind of lacking in one side, I often find with any type of yoga, it gets my energy flowing. It makes me feel more awake. It makes me feel like I said, I have more energy and calmer. So it can almost get you like in the zone and kind of get you centered and focused and really focusing again on that breath, like forcing yourself to breathe. Now, for someone who's stretching on their own, granted, it's more of like a natural breath. They're just kind of breathing like they would. But if someone were to do yoga before a game or during a tournament, for example, like with me, I would be cueing, you know, on this movement, you're inhaling, on this movement, you're exhaling. So it's reinforcing that conscious breath and also teaching players how to use their breath to keep them energized and their body warm.
Okay. So I have a question for you then. So I know that yoga typically has a lot of different forms to it. Now, I've read studies that you shouldn't, do static holds prior to working out or before gameplay. Now, with yoga, which depending on the style you're using, is a lot of static holds, how would you, I don't want to say counteract that study? You know what I'm going for, right?
Yeah, if it was before a game or a workout, I would definitely do a quicker paced flow class, even if it was like a 5-minute flow where we're moving and we're not holding a pose for too long, because I've also read that it's better to do something more dynamic and do the static stuff later. So before a game, it would be like a flow where you're moving. And then afterwards, it might be more of that like gentle yoga where you're holding a stretch for a bit longer, like in the cool down at the end of the day.
We'll circle kind of back around here to the origins of this. So you are teaching, and you have been for the last year, correct? Year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you get a very wide group or a very vast participation? Like, I assume, you know, that you get some elderly people, mm-hmm. some younger people. Do you get a lot of athletes that come to your yoga classes?
Yeah, I actually, because I teach, before all this COVID stuff happened, I taught at a studio and a couple different gyms. So I really did see, you know, I had football players who had never done yoga walk into my classes at one of the gyms I taught. And then at one of the studios I taught at, I had people who had been doing yoga for years and would be considered like advanced. So I've really seen all different types of bodies, ages, skill levels, and like you said, athletes. And it's funny because typically if we have, and now this is a bit of stereotyping, but it's just what I've seen, we'll have like some male athletes come in who are pretty bulky, they're in shape, they're fit, but they're new to yoga. And it's crazy like how little they can move their bodies or how tight they are. And I've seen that with some of the athletes I've had in my classes. And it's like you said before, you know, you don't know what you don't know. You can't be flexible or if you've never tried. So it's, there's nothing wrong with that. But just like the fact that they showed up to yoga and are willing to try, it's such a great compliment to that strength training and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And I think that there is a lot of lack in education there. Cause when I think back to like high school sports, you know, stretching was kind of just this stuff that they made us sit down and do for a minute. It was never taken seriously. It was just, all right, yeah, hurry up and do this so we can get practicing.
And yeah. And so that reminds me, and Felix actually just reminded me, I didn't say this. I coach high school lacrosse. I'm a lacrosse coach. And so with my players, I often have them do yoga. And we do like the flow type stuff before practice rather than the static stuff. Because when I was in school and played sports, like you said, stretching wasn't really taken seriously. And I remember before our basketball practices, we would be doing static stretching. And it's like, that's actually not what you're even supposed to do before practice. So, yeah.
The times have changed.
They have.
Yeah, they really have. Do you see a lot of change in athletes when, you know, they come to you the beginning of the season, probably haven't stretched or done a yoga protocol in the off season, seeing how they go from that first practice with their balance, their coordination, and see a lot of improvement after you start doing this consistently with them for a couple months?
Oh, definitely. It's really like a whole body improvement. And some of them, and granted, with the girls I coach in high school, a lot of them still are building their upper body strength, which is totally fine. And I didn't have, like, I couldn't do a tricep pushup when I was in high school. And the first time I tried to do a tricep pushup when I was older, I was actually one of the first times I did yoga. I remember I literally went down. And I couldn't come back up. I just like fell. So when now that I coach high school girls, one of the first things I show them is like a tricep pushup, because in yoga, it's called chaturanga. It's what we do in a vinyasa. So we go from plank, we lower into a tricep pushup, and then we flip our feet onto the mat and we lift up into either cobra or upward dog. And then we use our core to lift our hips up and back to downward dog. It's called a vinyasa. So that's one of the first things I do with them, just to kind of like show them, hey, yoga is great for stretching. It's great for balance, but it's also, you know, strength building. So I get them working their triceps.
Yeah. That reminds me of a lot of times where, I tried P90X yoga for the very first time doing any yoga. And there was a lot of those words that you were using. And I remember just like wanting to quit. That was like, I think I was only like 5 minutes into the video, and it was like an hour long video. And I'm like, I don't know how much more I could do this. And I was pretty in shape too at the time. So I'm like, I do a lot of push ups because of wrestling and football and stuff, but it was different the way that yoga makes you do it. So it's just a different way of using muscles to get to what you want.
Exactly. We have muscles we don't even know exist until we use them.
Pretty much. So like, yeah, it was a newfound respect for yoga after that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's where I think also that you could have a big effect, Christine, is that in injury prevention, because a lot of those stabilization muscles, those deep muscles that a lot of people aren't using, you know, because it's not your chest, it doesn't help you bench press, even though it does, that it's not muscles that are being targeted like yoga, the static holds, and all of the isolations that yoga has, that I think that that's going to prevent a lot of injury as well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but so you'd be surprised.
Oh, we could have like Flexible Friday, Strength Building Saturdays. Just coming up with day of the week for everything.
Do you, actually, well, we'll jump into that. What what is your goal with this page? What exactly, you know, do you want to see come from it? And what do you hope that people's biggest takeaway is from these pages?
Oh, my goal is to take over the world with this. I mean, if we're being honest right now.
whoa, we were here first.
Yeah. So no, like I'd like your job. I'm going to run a podcast. I'm going to run this group called Fit to Win Times Two. So yeah, no, my goal with this really is just to like have fun and bring yoga to people who might not have been doing it otherwise, because really, I mean, I keep saying this, but like before I did yoga, a lot of the stuff just never crossed my mind. And I'm so much better off now than I was physically and mentally. So I'm just really hoping that even if someone only does yoga the one time a week they watch my video, I think they'll notice a difference. And I also think there will be at least a handful of people who will kind of get like sucked into the lure of yoga and maybe start doing it more. And then they'll notice an overall effect on their body and their just overall well-being. So yeah, I just like to have fun and bring yoga to people and hopefully help make them healthier.
Yeah, I know definitely for me, it would definitely be helpful for me because I have my own stretching routine and it works, but I know I need more variety into it because I'm too lazy to pick out new exercises for it. So it's the same thing every time. So hopefully that I'll find something to pick from you and then learn something new, maybe replace some of my old ones with the new ones and see how it goes from there.
Yeah. Like you said, even just adding variety for people out there who do stretch and there might be people thinking like, oh, well, yeah, I already stretch or I already do this and that's awesome. But there is a lot of stuff out there that you might not even know about. Like I said, things I've done in yoga classes, I never even thought about, you know, putting my arm here and my other arm here to like make that muscle stretch. And it's just really cool how much variety there is. So.
Yeah. And I like that, you know, every Friday that I know I can tune in because there's so many times where I tell myself, like, I can feel I'm getting tight. I need to do something. I need to like sit down today and do some kind of stretching routine. And then that never happens. So being able to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get out.
Well, you're just horrible people.
I get out in my garage and I can feel I'm squatting. I'm like, wow, my left hip is so much tighter than my right hip. I can feel I'm shifting in the bottom of my squat. So it triggers like, oh, yeah. I need to do this to help my lifting side of preparation, whatever, that's going to also translate into my dodgeball play. So having something that, you know, I can look at and I can say, oh, Christine had a really good movement or had a really good tip on, you know, how I can open up the bottom of my squat. I'm just going to go in, do this for quick 5-10 minutes and then see how it affects it in 2 days, or I'm going to do this for the next week and see how it works out. So definitely having targeted videos will help me a lot because I'm a very one track mind. Like I see something, I do it, done, moving on. Miles, did you have anything else?
I got a lot of fun questions. So that could be kind of paired up with like the crowdsource questions. If there's none of the series of those,
I think those will be fun to do. Let's jump into those.
All right. I'll let you go first if there's any crowdsource questions that are kind of serious first.
The only one I saw that we got from Instagram is... So I have two here. Savage Sage asked, best poses for stretching glutes.
One of the first things that came to mind, and the reason why I paused, was I was trying to think about like, okay, is this hitting my hip? Is it hitting my glute? But I know it's like all connected. So there's a pose called Pigeon Pose. And there are a lot of varieties of pigeon pose. And so what I'm thinking is I can just post the picture or like the info visually online to help people. But basically, if you're doing the full expression of pigeon pose, you have, for example, your right shin would be like parallel. If you had the mat there, like with the front of the mat, you're flexing your right toes towards your shin and your left leg is extended behind you. And so it's a lot. That's the full expression, but there are literally, like, I can't even count how many variations of pigeon pose. So I could post some of those to kind of pair with this, because I didn't know what pigeon pose was before yoga. I don't know if you guys have done that or if you've heard of that pose. But
it's the most uncomfortable one I've ever done. So I do a variation.
I was going to say, yeah, so variations are good.
I have to put a pillow under my butt. I can't.
That's a good prop. Yeah, that's one of the ways to to help.
Yeah, because I can't sit all the way into it. So then my hips become, out of square. And it's not mm-hmm. doing the full effect. So I have to use a pillow or else it's just useless for me.
Not only are there variations on the, like, when you're, I don't know how to say, like, so there's a variation where you put, like you said, the pillow underneath, but you can also do pigeon on your back. So it's also sometimes called like a reclined figure four stretch. You could do it when you're standing and do it like a standing figure four, which is basically a pigeon variation. So yeah, there are lots of ways to make it work.
I mean, the variation I do, I don't know if it's an official one, but it's one I made up that helps me. So like I have that first, that right foot up in front, like you said, where you flex your toe, it's parallel to the front of the mat. And all I do is tuck my other foot behind me. So I'm not like fully stretched out. I'm just kind of sitting mm-hmm. on my heel. And
yeah.
That's the way I do it. It's so yeah. helpful.
Yeah. That's one of the variations. That's a great one.
Awesome.
Yeah. well, I was gonna say another thing I do, which I'm sure a lot of you guys do, because, I mean, I think it's pretty common for athletes to have foam rollers, but I love to use a foam roller and roll out my muscles. So that helps with my glutes too.
I need to use that more often.
Or a tennis ball.
Oh, no. Oh,
I have a lacrosse ball.
I do too. Yes.
It's so much pain. All right, we have another question here from Dodgeball and Deadlifts. And I didn't know what this was, so I had to look it up. So don't feel bad if we just have to cut all this out. But yes, what is your opinion on FRC, which I looked up and is functional range conditioning for your joints? So I don't know if you have any takes on that or have heard about that at all.
I'm wondering if it's similar to something else I'm thinking of, but let me see.
The only other thing that I've heard that's kind of close to this is Onnit. They have a unbreakable series for, you know, the different major joints. So they have like these programs for unbreakable ankles and unbreakable knees, elbows, shoulders, hips, where they have different exercises. Like I think one of them for the ankles, like walking on the outsides of your feet and really flexing your ankles in. So that way you only walk on like the outside of your feet. So it's kind of strengthening up around that joint. And I think that's what he's talking about.
I thought I heard about it before, but then I don't know what I thought it was, but that's not it.
I have not either, but it looks kind of like what we're talking about really being able to open up your mobility and then strengthening the muscle around that joint.
I haven't heard of that before. So,
oh, actually, yeah. There's a picture of the Onnit Academy on this website that I'm looking at. So it's got to be like that same thing. But I think mm-hmm. a consensus on all of it would be that it's only going to help you and it's going to be good for your body.
Sure. Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm hesitant to say yes or no because I don't know about it. But so don't quote me on anything.
But he had a second part to his.
We'll have to do more research.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep that webpage up so I can dive a little bit deeper into it. But he had a second part to his question. Do you have a favorite method for developing hip internal rotation?
Favorite method? I mean, don't necessarily have a favorite method. I have some like stretches where you're internally rotating your hip, but no, honestly, I don't really have a method behind that for me. I don't.
Yeah. The only thing that I know of is if you're going to lay perpendicular to like a squat rack or something and you mm-hmm. loop a band around the leg of the squat rack, and then you mm-hmm. you put the other end of the band around your ankle, and you lay on your back, raise your knee to a 90 degree with your foot, and then you rotate your hip in and you push your ankle out and away from the squat rack. So that way you're rotating your hip in, pushing your ankle out against the band. That's really one of the only ones that I really use, because mm-hmm. a lot of weightlifting is all opening the hips up, like in a squat, in a deadlift. It's all right. opening the hips. Yeah. So working that balance yeah. of that internal rotation, that's what I use. I don't know how much how much developing of that yoga would do. I think that yoga is more yeah. of a releasing the outer tension than really developing that mm-hmm. internal rotation. That could just be me though. You're the yoga expert.
Yeah. I mean, there are poses, like there are definitely poses in yoga where the hip is internally rotated. But they're quite often, like you said, we're externally rotating it. So yeah, we don't necessarily have any, or at least I haven't used in my yoga classes, any exercises targeted specifically at, look like internal, like strengthening. What was the question about, like internal rotation with methods to help with it, or like,
yeah, your favorite yeah. methods for developing internal rotation for the hip?
Yeah, like, yeah. So in my, like in the classes I've taught, like we have poses that incorporate both internal and external rotation, but I haven't done anything specifically like, okay, this is how we're going to help your hip with internal or external, et cetera. So,
well, yeah, we just gave you a video idea. I will say though, things like those kind of questions, since we've started, I found that I don't stop learning now. And I get asked questions, and I mean, I don't want to pretend that I'm like an expert on anything, but I've just done so much more reading of, you know, studies of things that could potentially transfer over into dodgeball gameplay, that my girlfriend tells me I don't even hang out with her anymore. All I do is work. like you're literally sitting next to me while I'm looking at all of these things. But yeah, I can't stop. It's like an addiction.
It really is.
But anyway, that gives you more things to look into. That's all I had from Instagram, Miles. If you got funny ones and the one from Facebook.
Okay, so funny ones was so when you started making your Flexible Fridays, I can't think of my brain straight. Anyway, is Felix your patient zero? Like, was he your first test subject?
No, I actually use my boyfriend.
I got him.
Yeah, no. Disclaimer for those of you who don't know me, I don't have a boyfriend. I'm only with my husband Felix, and yes, he was the first person I used as my guinea pig.
Good cover.
And I like having him in the videos, because I am aware that for someone who doesn't do yoga, it could be like, all right, here's this yoga teacher telling me to do this and that. Does she even know what it's like to not really know how to do these poses? So I get to use my husband for that. Nice. So yeah.
My girlfriend commented on Felix today in the video. She goes, he looks just like a happy puppy just waiting to be told what to do. He's just so excited to be there.
He's very supportive.
I mean, that answered my second part.
Love you, Felix.
Yeah, you answered my second part, which was going to be, is he going to remain in every single video now? So I figure he's going to be, at least I hope so.
Well, I don't want to make any promises. He'll definitely be in a lot of the videos, but there might be some, if I do like a flow class, where it might be hard to have him there too. But we'll see how it goes. And like you guys said, give the people what they want. If people are wanting some Felix juiciness, we'll get him in yeah. there. So
he can just stand in the back and just do nothing. That's still entertainment.
That's actually true. He could definitely do that. I think we'll do that. Yeah.
Oh man. All right, I got another Felix question. All right, so here's another Felix question. This is my question. So with the whole quarantine pandemic, what's it like dealing with Felix 24/7? This is a two-part question, by the way. So
fucking
suck.
Can you cuss on here or not? I'm just kidding. He just gave me his mouth dropped. He's like, what? Truth comes out. Yeah, so I mean, it's great. Yeah, I like it. No, it's good. He works upstairs in his office and does all his stuff, and I just do my things down here, and then every once in a while I make him do a yoga video with me. So it's good. If that's the that's the normal answer, is it's good. The other answer is I'm regretting my marriage, but
there we go.
Well,
juicy stuff.
We won't get into that. Right.
So here's part two. How do you maintain your sanity?
Yeah, great question. I'm still trying to figure that out. So if anyone has any tips for me, please reach out. Reach out.
There we go.
Oh, so I all should right. probably give a serious answer that Felix just mouthed to me is meditation. Meditating, everyone. Meditate. Yeah, it's there, good for you.
Good point. Here we go.
Yeah, yoga.
Yeah, actually, meditation is, it's like on the up. You can't go anywhere now without hearing about meditation and how it's helped people so much and become more centered. And I used to do it fairly regularly. I say that kind of loosely. It'd be like once or two times a week for like 10 minutes. And I used to use... what's that? It was an app, little orange guy. I can't think of it, but it actually helped me a lot. Life, especially now, you get so consumed in what's on TV, what's on my phone, what's, you know, what is everybody else doing? But taking a quick, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes to just sit and breathe, it's weird to say, but it just gets you so energized.
Yeah. Even I had my lacrosse players do some meditation, like even 3 minutes. Cause like, I know it can seem actually, to be honest, it's still overwhelming for me to think about like sitting for 10 minutes, breathing quietly, even though I do that in a yoga class, like the fact that it's meditation can be a bit like almost, oh man, I have to do this. So even just doing 3 minutes, 5 minutes until you kind of build up, it really does make a difference. I actually have a friend who has anxiety, and she hasn't been wanting to take medicine. I have anxiety too, but she's been like really anti-medicine. So what she does is meditate every morning, and she said it's made a world of difference. So it really does help.
Yeah, it's crazy. Especially, I mean, I'm going to use a personal example right now is, you know, working a 9-to-5 job, being stuck in the house. I mean, I get my half hour of my workout in. That's kind of like my meditation because it's just me in there. Mm-hmm. So nobody else bothers me. But then come back in the house with two kids, a girlfriend, and I'm always got, you know, the next episode idea on my mind, or, you know, what do I have to do for ball out later? But just it, being able to quiet all of that while you sit and just focus on your breathing, it's awesome. I that's really all I can use for it, is it's helped me so much.
Yeah, it really does make a difference. And like you said, even something like working out, if you're alone and like you're able to kind of just let go and only focus on the workout, that in itself is like a form of meditation. Or yoga can be like moving meditation, or anything that really gets you being present in the moment and breathing is meditation. So it can help a lot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have meditation as like a what possible podcast topic idea, I think, on our list of,
yeah, if not, we need to add
topics
it
at some point. I think I might be wrong about that, but it's definitely something that we could definitely go into it.
But yeah, what you got anything else over there, Miles?
No, that was all my questions.
Christine, do you have anything that you want to ask us?
Oh, what's it like working with Felix? No, I'm kidding. Doing all this dodgeball stuff with him.
Well, luckily, we just kind of watch Felix do the work, which is we just get to hear about all the work, and then we just get to sit back and enjoy whatever comes of it.
So, yeah, he kind of tells me that like no one does anything and he does everything, and he kind of hates everyone, and he's like carrying all this on him. So I don't know, but there's a lot of resentment there, I think.
Yeah, there's a couple of topics that are definitely hot button, I bet. Yeah, but I mean, Felix takes care of us as Gamecocks. He sets everything up. We don't have to do anything except send him money, and he just tells us what our itinerary is, where we have to be at what time. And then we just show up And it's all taken care of. It's super easy.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I get some nice gifts when you guys send them money. So it works out for all of us.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
Just kidding.
So basically what you're saying is that Felix is team mom.
Well, he's
oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, team mom. Yeah.
Felix oh, 100%. Is the team mom.
I'd call him team dad. I'll give him dad title.
He is, because
if you don't know where you're supposed to be, you get the disappointed dad look so hard.
He's pretty great in that aspect. I'll admit that.
Oh man, anything else you have for us, Christine?
Let me think. I don't.
You don't have to. It's.
Well,
we've kept you for an hour away from Felix, and I know that's a long time.
Oh, it's okay. I'll survive.
Did we though? Because he's right next to you.
When he does these podcasts, he's gone for like 2 hours. You guys are gone for like 2-3 hours. Like, I don't even know. So I was just expecting whatever coming into it. I was like, I'm bracing myself for I don't know what. So I don't know what all you guys do when you're together. I don't know if I want to know, but.
Nah.
Yeah, he
I mean, that's a pretty accurate description.
The things he says he does at tournaments, no. But yeah, I mean, Felix, you're on this call. Do you have any or call this podcast? Do you have anything you think that we should discuss before we end? Like with all your insights?
What's your opinion on foam dodgeball, Christine?
Oh, my opinion on foam dodgeball. I think that it is, what is that? Two middle fingers? What, Felix? Are you sure? it's
man.
Wonderful. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. That's what I'm being told.
Agree.
Yeah. I don't know.
No worries.
And, Christine, what are your opinions on Dynasty?
Who's Dynasty? Like, what is that? I don't. Dynasty, is that like a like a chicken like or something, or is that you guys like have, or I don't know.
Ooh, shots caught fired. Shots
baseball
fired.
Team,
great response. Never
little
heard
balls
of them.
I've heard. Yeah, baseball. Okay.
Ooh. Oh boy.
All right, Christine, let's wrap this up before we get ourselves in trouble. Where can people follow you and follow all that you got going
on?
So
my Facebook page for all the yoga and fitness stuff is Christine Irvin. It's spelled like Irvine. Christine Irvin Fitness and Yoga. And my yoga Instagram page is Pinto Bean Yoga. And you don't need to know why it's called that. It's called that because of my cat.
Fair enough.
I love my cat.
Well, make sure... Make sure you are following this. I think there's a lot of good to come out of this, Christine. Thank you so much for coming on
and kind of
being able to kind of go deeper into this with us. Everybody, make sure that if you are not by now, you're following Ball Out on Instagram, on Facebook, and going to our website and signing up for that email newsletter that will be coming soon. Make sure you tune in every Thursday for a new episode. I don't have anything else, Miles. If you got something.
Nope, that's it.
All right, then we
cool.
out.
Thanks, guys.
We out, guys.